The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Hundreds of koalas were shot by snipers from helicopters in the state of Victoria in Australia in what the authorities said was an urgent measure for the koalas' welfare. The Victorian state government is now facing a massive backlash due to concerns for animal welfare and the hundreds of orphan joeys. Now, for more on this, I'm joined by Aisling Maloney, journalist with Storyful in Australia. Aisling, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this is an extraordinary story. When I saw it first, I couldn't understand how this could happen. Sharpshooters in helicopters finding with their telescopic sights koalas up in the trees and just killing them. Explain.
Yes, it is quite shocking when you hear it. And I was the exact same as yourself to learn that this was happening, especially when Australia takes such pride in its native animals and wildlife. And in some parts of Australia, koalas are actually endangered. However, in Victoria, they are in abundance. So there is often cullings of koalas. But what's really unusual in this case, Pat, is how they did it, which is, as you said there, they went up in helicopters with shooters who shot the koalas in order to cull them. So this happened because there was a large bushfire in Budgebim National Park, which is in Victoria. It's in the west of the Victorian state, which is in the southeast of Australia, for people who are familiar with the country. So there was a large bushfire in this national park. It burned about 20% of the national park, or about over 2,000 hectares, which is the koala's habitat. In that bushfire, there were koalas who were injured. Some were burned. Some had smoke inhalation. And generally, during the bushfire, their food source was burned. So they are at risk of starvation. So that's why the state government said that they had to carry out this cull. It was for animal welfare reasons, essentially to stop the pain and suffering of some of these koalas. And this is their justification for it.
Now, so it's not exactly a forensic culling. I mean, guys in helicopters with rifles have no clue the condition of a particular koala they're targeting.
And that's exactly the concern that's being raised from animal welfare activists and politicians in Victoria and across the country of Australia. So as you mentioned there, they went up in helicopters, and the Victorian government and the Department of Environment explained that they were able to assess the koalas from about 30 metres away. Now, animal rights and animal welfare activists are saying that there's no way that you could possibly assess, you know, thoroughly assess a koala for the attributes that it needs to have in order to be euthanized under the Victorian state government's kind of principles. So they say that it's justified for a koala to be culled if they have lost a hand or digits, if there's burns to more than 15% of their body, if they have pneumonia from smoke inhalation, they're become blind from their injuries, or they have an injury requiring surgery. But the animal rights activists are saying, how on earth would you be able to tell all of that from 30 metres away flying up in a helicopter? And also, if you kill a female koala, if you're culling it, you have to promptly examine that koala for a joey in its pouch, which is a baby koala. So they're also saying that there's now a huge risk that there is a number of orphaned koalas, I suppose, running around this national park at risk of that their survival is at risk because they don't have their mothers with them. And they're also, I suppose, affected by all the things that are affecting those koalas that were culled, which is a lack of food resources. And there's a lot being said for why this was done. There's a call for an independent review to be carried out. Animal rights activists are asking why the food, like, because their food source was burned in the bushfire and there was a shortage of food, why couldn't the gum trees or gum leaves be brought in so that the koalas, you know, from externally, yeah, so the koalas could eat those in the meantime while the forest was regenerating. And also, this wasn't alerted to the public. There was no public appeal or, you know, public awareness that this culling was happening. This came to light in the media after the culling of the 750 koalas because of locals around the national park saw the helicopters. They alerted animal rights activists who looked into it, and journalists asking questions. So it's very shady how this all came out, the fact that it was concealed from the public. So there's a really bad taste in the mouth of many people about how this happened. There's also been no, I suppose, they haven't revealed the internal assessments. Now, they said there were extensive assessments done to justify this, but that hasn't been made public. So there's a lot of questions about what advice they relied on and the credentials of the koala experts that they relied on and the credentials of the people that were doing the shooting. So a lot of questions raised about how this happened and whether it was properly justified.
What is most infuriating about this is that when we had other bushfires in Australia and they were looking for help and they were, you know, crying out about the disasters, they used the koala as the kind of the symbol of that. And the threats to the koalas and, you know, why people must act and, you know, protect forests from bushfires and all the rest of it. They use the koala to kind of emotionally blackmail people into helping or changing their attitude. And now they're plugging them with the sharpshooters from helicopters.
And many people who, I suppose, followed those stories, especially the really bad bushfires that they had here a couple of years ago, will remember kind of, you know, images that were plastered over the media of, you know, koalas getting a little drink of water because they were dehydrated, you know, koalas that had burned fur. And I suppose the question has to be raised about why couldn't, I suppose, you help those koalas that had a bit of burn or had smoke inhalation? Was there no way to revive them back to good health, especially when they're native marsupial, they're so iconic to Australia and endangered in other parts of the country?
And now, there are, all over Australia, there are koala sanctuaries and there's a safe environment for, I was in one of them very recently, and a koala who could never go back to the wild because it had been blinded in some way was able to live out a happy life, was able to scale the trees and find food within that limited sanctuary environment. So there could have been a home in many of the sanctuaries for those koalas, maybe who could never really fully return to the wild.
Yeah, and there's the questions being asked as well, Pat, about like how proactive and how ethical the protection of koalas actually is and the actions that the state government and the Australian government are doing, because this national park is surrounded by blue gum plantations that are logged regularly. So if a koala is in one of those blue gum plantations because they love the gum trees, they're eating away, then they're getting logged around them, they move into the national park, and then the government or the state government is justified in culling. So are you just driving all the koalas into one spot where then you can say, oh, well, there's an overpopulation here, and then we can cull? So there's questions being asked about the wider ethical management of the koala population in Victoria.
And was it, do you think, all about cost? You know, fellas up in helicopters banging away with their rifles, killing hundreds of koalas in a relatively short time, compared to going in on foot, finding these timid creatures and trying to help them?
Well, the state government said that basically the national park itself, because it was so affected by the bushfire, that some of the trees would be kind of weak and hard to get up into. And then also a lot of the national park itself is on rock, in rocky terrain, and not kind of easily accessible on foot. So that was one of the justifications for it. But aerial shooting of koalas is highly unusual. It's never been done in Victoria, and it's never been done in wider Australia in this context. So it's highly unusual, and I suppose when it's such a highly unusual measure, it's even kind of more shady that they haven't come out and fully explained or kind of given a fulsome explanation and account to the public of what happened prior to it happening, during it happening, and after it happening.
Aisling Maloney, journalist with Storyful in Australia, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.